ring.
That's a telephone. I'll answer it.
No, I must count them. Yeah, two. Two rings.
I have to answer the phone there.
No, I'm counting the rings. Three rings.
Podcast Bone Phone.
Calling me long distance on the bone phone. Well, I mean, it's really not long distance. Maybe back in the old days, it's really just New Jersey. But anyway, we've got Chris Gay, long-term listener, first-time guest, host of the world-renowned Haunt Tech Tips YouTube channel. And so, Chris, like, right, you're a haunter, you're a Ghostbuster, you're a YouTuber, you're a podcaster, and an all-around model American.
I do the best I can. I will say retired as a Ghostbuster, but still keeping up with the rest.
Oh, okay. Because that's how we originally met. I think we met at the National Haunters Convention when that existed. I met the first year I was down there, and you were there with some of your crew, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, in Valley Forge. That was the big show that got me into haunting. I always knew haunts were a thing, but until I went to that show and had that, oh my God, there's an industry here moment, that was the light bulb right then, right there. So you were there when it all started for me.
I was there from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So when I originally met you, you weren't even listening. You didn't listen to Hauntcast at that point. You learned about us from there, and then kind of you were getting into haunting and then listened to the show. Is that how it worked out?
Yeah, exactly. We actually listened on the way home sitting in traffic on the Schuylkill, which, you know what that's like.
Yeah, that's funny. That seems like eons ago, man.
Oh,
because that was what that might have been like the first or second year that we were in doing the show, so it's got to be at least a good decade ago at minimum. So, yeah, crazy, man. So, Ghostbusters, not so much, but you've got other hobbies to keep you busy. One, you have a home haunt, correct?
Actually, it's a fire department-based charity haunt.
Oh, great. So, man, that's better.
I was always a small, tiny home haunter, the parents' front porch, that sort of thing. Lived in one of those nice neighborhoods the kids love to trick-or-treat in, and outgrew that really fast. Went to college, did a couple haunts there, charity haunts for them, and now found a home with the fire department, and it's just growing leaps and bounds right now. It's our third year, and we've got so much going on this year, it's insane. Looking forward to it.
What town is that?
It's Ocean View, New Jersey. Basically, if you look at the map of New Jersey, we're the little dangly bit right at the bottom, so just keep going south until you hit the water, and then that's where we're at.
What's the name of the haunt?
It's not that creative. It's Ocean View Trail of Terror. But a lot of people around here have never even been to a haunt before, so we kind of had to explain what it was in the name.
Yeah, sometimes keeping it stupid simple is the way to go.
Yeah, it's worked so far. It makes the marketing a little bit easier, but we put a new theme on it every year. So this year, that's Freak Show, obviously, with It and all of that, huge right now, kind of riding the wave. We're not doing an It haunt, but we're just riding that wave, riding that interest, which seems to be working pretty well already.
So it's all outdoors?
90%. Our first, we have a queue area, which is where the engines would normally park. So it's covered queue area with a video screen. We do some video loops there, let some advertisers play some sponsored videos. Then the first room is indoors, but then the rest is all in the woods, which last year, the first room, we did a full-on escape room in there, a little five-minute escape room, told the story. This year, we're going to have a cabinet of curiosities, working on a two-axis goal for that right now. So it gives me a little indoor, a little outdoor, so I can have something fancy and neat up front, and then everything else out in the woods where it's dark and scary.
Do you act? Do you just do all the behind the scenes, you know, the setup and all of that, or what's your role mainly?
I'm not 90% the director, trying to keep everything running, running around on an ATV. Thank God we got that last year so I could actually not run my feet off all night long. But when I can, I try to sneak in and get a few scares in. We've been picking up a couple CFX masks used here and there on the back pages of Facebook and eBay. So that way I can throw something on, go have some fun in the queue line. Then the radio talks and I have to go work. But I get a little fun in.
That's good. You know, get your haunt on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
where the YouTube channel. It's kind of like it's a YouTube and a podcast. Is that correct? It's two separate things that you have there?
Yeah, it's Haunt Tech Tips, because I realized when I was doing all the tech things, my day job a few years ago before I quit my day job, believe it or not, was installing security cameras, fire alarms, security alarms, and I saw all the chatter on Facebook on the Hangout pages and all about, hey, how do we do this? How does that work? I'm like, wait, I did this stuff for 5 years, 40 hours a week. I know about this stuff. So started sharing that in the podcast. But as I'm building the Haunt, I'm just bringing along a GoPro with me and filming things as I do it behind the scenes and kind of, hey, here's how I do it. So the new series, it's 100 Days to Terror. I did it last year. Not going to lie, towards the end, I really stopped posting videos because I got in the last 15 days and it was so busy, it was crazy. So I'm just going to get a head harness this year, and they won't be quite so polished, but you'll still see that behind the scenes of, here it is, we're putting the Haunt together. It's 3 a.m, I'm strung out, needing coffee, but we're making it happen. Here's the magic. And just bringing people along for that journey, plus the trade shows, behind the scenes when we do some travel. So there's a lot to the YouTube channel that wouldn't make sense on the podcast version, but just bringing everybody along for the fun.
What GoPro do you use?
Pretty much every year I've been upgrading. Right now I'm on the Hero 7 because that new, the Hyper Smooth technology in it is amazing. It's like you have a gimbal on it, so it's smooth. You get a good video out of it. It does decent in low light. I found I just strap an LED light on it, then it's good enough. It's at least Blair Witch Project quality, which I'm in the woods anyway for the Haunt, so looks neat.
I was thinking about doing that. I know that they're not phenomenal in low light, but I know that the newer ones are better in low light than the earlier Heroes, like the Hero 1, 2, 3. I think my son has a Hero 4, and I was going to try to use that, but I think the low light didn't get much better until the Hero 5, I believe, if from what I remember reading somewhere or seeing online. I think the Hero 5 had much better low light than the Hero 4 and the predecessors, so...
Right. Although you'll find the audio quality on the 5 and 6 got terrible because it became all enclosed, waterproof without a housing. So that's the other thing. I actually have a Rode video mic plugged into the USB port. So it's not at all waterproof, but that makes a huge difference having that external mic on the newer ones. The 4 sounds great, but you can't see anything after dark.
Yeah. So the 7 is the way to go right now. That's the best they have.
It seems like it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm actually even thinking about grabbing one to go out. I'm doing a trip out to Arizona to hit some of the national parks and stuff. And I was thinking that it would be great to throw one on my bike and when I'm cruising around. And I also probably could really use one for the Haunt. You know, I have a really nice Sony camera, like an A6000, that's amazing in low light. And that's like, 4 or 5 years old, and it's still, it's awesome in low light. That's how I take all my Haunt pictures and video. But a little too cumbersome to kind of try to hook up to things, and not always that convenient, especially if you could put it on a head mount, like you're talking about, and run around and be a pretty cool scare cam type of thing, What I really wanted to talk to you about is, I think it was one of your podcasts that you had on YouTube, and you're talking about projectors. So anything you recommend?
The LED projectors have just recently gotten affordable, and they're decent. Of course, you can get a professional quality LED projector, but you don't really want to put that out in your yard, put it out in the weather. The one I've picked up off Amazon, it total no name. And we used it for a cemetery scene. We put some gray chiffon material between the cemetery gate, hid the bottom of the material with a chain so they wouldn't walk through the material by accident, project a ghost on that from the rear, and it worked great. Plus LED, so it was low power. It had built-in USB, built-in micro SD, full-size SD, and it was just done all in one unit, which is beautiful. You don't have to have a separate media player plugged into it. They discontinued that one, of course, because I was going to recommend it. But there's different brands out there. Really, just a no-name Chinese Amazon cheapos are halfway decent. And with Amazon, you do get that A to Z. So if it's a dead out of the box, you get a little coverage there. But what you got to look for is the resolution. You'll see advertised all day long up front, it'll say 1080p. but that's the input, meaning you can put a 1080 video on it. Native resolution is what you're looking for. If you dig down in those specs, what you'll see on a lot of them is 400 by
1080p is the input. The output is the native resolution, is what it actually puts out. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. And that's where, if you go on Amazon and search them real quick, you'll see Amazon Choice, Vankyo Leisure, mini projector, full HD, 1080p. But then once you dig down a little bit and the review there, or not the review, the listing, it's going to say native resolution, which is actually 854 by 480. So they're advertising it as 1080 because you can put 1080 into it, but then the image it's putting out is 480, which is old school TV or VCR quality, which isn't bad for a haunt setting. If you're doing a very small image in the dark, that's fine. You can make a ghost, throw it slightly out of focus, works great. But if you're doing, per se, a queue line and you're trying to put up your advertisers, it's going to be a blurry mess.
So what would you recommend in that case?
720 is considered HD. When I say that, I say it with air quotations because 720 was HD when DVDs came out. Mm-hmm. But that will get you by. You can at least throw things a little bit out of focus and work with that. You have to watch out with the kits you'll see at your Home Depot or your Walmart. They're all that 400 line of resolution, maybe a little bit lower. And the lumen output as well, the brightness on those is marginal. It works for haunters. If it's a small image in a dark room, it's going to work. If you want something maybe like door size, window size, or smaller, the Walmart, the Home Depot, they're probably going to work for you. But if you do want that full cemetery scene, you're going to need at least 1,500, maybe 2,000 lumens. Although you'll see some of them advertise in Lux, some advertise in lumens. Lumens is kind of the industry standard. Lux is just a different measurement that the number's higher than if it were lumens, so they like to advertise with that at the moment.
Yeah. So the minimal, like 1,500 lumens is pretty much where you want to be minimum if you're doing a much bigger scene. Or if you
I would say
or higher quality.
Yeah, maybe if you want to do something that's 8 by 8 foot, like your standard full size projector screen you would see in a office setting, about 1,500 lumens if it's not a brightly lit scene. And ideally that 720 lines of resolution native. You can get by with less if it's a ghost, if it's something you can throw out of focus. But what you'll run into is if you project that 420 on a huge area, your guests are going to walk by and they're going to see pixels, and that ruins the image ruins the illusion there instantly.
Once again, the brand that you bought, they don't have it. They're not listing it anymore. They're not selling that brand, but look for something. You can look for something similar to that.
Somewhere in the $75 range online right now, that again, they'll say that 1080p supported, but you just have to dig down into the real numbers, usually down lower in the listing, past all the pretty pictures that are totally fake. Because all of them, they show this huge image in a well-lit room. That's totally fake. If you actually read, they'll say 170-inch display max in a dark room, which 170 inches, that's not bad. That you can do a decent-sized scene with some ghost on it with that. And on the flip side, we are haunts. You don't want the 5,000 lumen brightest thing ever projector out there because it's just going to blow the scene out. The wall's going to be lit up white, and you're going to see a big white square and realize, oh, hey, it's a projector effect, whatever. So there is a balance there. You don't want to be too bright, but you also want to be bright enough they can even see you have an effect going.
What other kind of effects have you come across that are pretty good for a home haunter type of setup?
A lot of the LED tape lights, and even recently the fog lasers, or the swamp laser effect, they're coming out and they're USB powered now, which, if you're a home haunter for 1-2 nights, that's awesome because you can use little battery power banks, phone chargers, and run these LEDs, run these lasers. So you don't have to go out and run that 12 voltage wiring all over. You can just put some little battery banks out and run your lighting right off of that. So it gets you out of the 120 volt game, and you don't even have to run wires and power supplies now. Just battery bank and plug it and play.
I was looking at some tutorials on how to make those cheap, the line lasers so that you can run that swamp, that laser fog. Or laser swamp, I mean. So there's really not too much to it. It's like a laser pointer, except it disperses. It shoots like a line, like a horizontal line or vertical, depending on how you hold it.
Yeah, it's the same thing as they use for laser levels when you're hanging a picture at the hardware store. They just take out the element and they're selling it as its own single device.
Yeah. Now, do you have that effect at your haunt?
We have them on order. They're coming on the slow boat from overseas. So hopefully I'll put a video up once they get here.
I think, it's funny. I just bought, let me tell you what, I'm going to open up my eBay. Hold on. I'm going to open up my eBay purchase thing, and I'm going to read what I have and tell me whether I bought the right one. But yes, the expected delivery is, it's like 5 or 6 weeks away from China. From Shanghai or somewhere. Let me pull this one up and see if I did buy the correct one, or maybe we even bought the same damn thing. It looks like it's a Laserland 5 milliwatt, 10 milliwatt, 532. I don't know what is NM. What does NM mean? Do you know what that means?
Nanometer. That's the wavelength of the light it puts out. So that's telling you the color in technical speak.
Okay, nanometer, a green line laser module diode laser. That's what it says. And it says it's like APC 3.0 to 3.7 volt. Does that sound like the right thing? Will that do the trick?
That sounds like it. The one I'm looking at right now, and actually the one I ordered, is USB powered, which kind of a neat trick. You can plug it in the wall. You can plug it in a battery bank. But yeah, there's all sorts of them out there right now, and it I'm sure the price that you see on the stateside distributors is quality control. They're taking them in, they're testing them, they're making sure they're not going to burn out 5 minutes into it. But thus is the slow boat discount. Yeah, risk.
I know, that's why, because this one that I purchased was like nine and change, like 988, and so I bought two of them. I figured, okay, two of them should do the trick, because I'm not looking to cover a huge area. But I figured, yeah, it will do the job. So now this one was not USB. Had I talked to you before I purchased it, would have probably got the one with the USB connector on it to plug it straight in. But yeah, this one just looks like a quick little wiring job. Shouldn't be too complicated. But I love the effect, and I always thought that I would try to work it in. This year I may not be doing a walkthrough, so I thought maybe I could put something up in the driveway and make this, because my theme is the Village Buyer, so it's like swampy and whatnot. I thought that would be a cool effect to do, to run that out there. So
right.
So if it's a 3 to 3.7 volt, so I'm just going to need to get a wall wart that's about a 3 volt wall wart. Is that kind of what I'm going to have to do? And just
that, or as long as it's DC, just get yourself a couple good AA batteries and get a little battery enclosure. Now you can go to Radio Shack and buy that anymore, but 2 1.5 volt batteries will give you 3 volts, so that could work.
1.5 volt would be what, a AA or AAA?
They're both 1.5 volts, just different sizes. You get more power out of the double because it's bigger, more capacity.
Oh, okay. So just a couple of AAs should do the trick.
Yeah. And I do recommend lithium. For some reason, it gives you a little more voltage than advertised on the lithium batteries. And the laser is just a little bit brighter with that, which is nice.
This little conversation with you was more just completely selfish on my end, but hopefully it will help other haunters out. That was mainly what I wanted to talk to you about, is those two things. I figured, hey, this guy has a YouTube channel that says Haunt Tech Tips. He better know this shit, damn it. I'm calling you out if you don't. No, but and you actually did. That's awesome.
And if you watch the videos, half of them, it's me figuring things out. So I put the GoPro up, so it's looking down at me working on something. And I've blown a thing or two up, not on video yet, but I'm sure it'll happen sooner or later. But live and learn. That way my viewers don't have to do the same screw-ups I do on the way getting things together.
That's great, because I can at least hit you up too if I have any issues with this. I'll hit you up. So how's things going right now with the podcast and YouTube channel? How's things working out with that?
The podcast is still steady. I haven't made an episode for it in ages. That's my bad. It seems like every time I sit down to record, I'm also a firefighter and EMT. So every time I sit down to record, I get 5 minutes in and the pager goes off. But the YouTube though is leaps and bounds. Almost 40,000 subscribers right now. I've got a video from Transworld that went viral. So believe it or not, the YouTube is funding a little bit of the toys for the haunt this year. Apparently some influencers saw this video, liked it, shared it. And it was a video of the Big Unit 70 Pennywise prop from Transworld 2 years ago. And that video alone has had, I think, 12 million some views. And it's just a juggernaut. And right. As people see that video, they like, they subscribe, they check, they click onto other videos. And it, one video really took the whole channel off. And it's dumb luck in large part, because there's how many videos of that animatronic out there, and mine just happened to catch.
So what else you got coming up?
One cool video we actually just put up, I went out to Santa Fe, New Mexico a few months ago to a place called Meow Wolf, which is as weird as it sounds. Meow Wolf, it is a giant mix between a adult Chuck E. Cheese, a art museum, a kids touch museum, a concert venue, and a escape room / haunted house walkthrough. Craziness. It was just a place built by artists, funded by the guy that created Game of Thrones, because he saw their idea, thought it was cool, threw some money at them. So we did a walkthrough of that. So some lessons we learned from the haunt from their show, walking through that you can apply to haunts. Because we have this huge thing in the industry of, I built a cool haunt, look at it, don't touch it. But touch, we want people to hear things. We want them to see things. We want them to smell things. Maybe we don't want to touch our patrons, but maybe we give our patrons something to touch, give them that interaction with the haunt. And some of the cool things they did at this Meow Wolf place, there would be light up mushrooms or bones, and if you touch them, they would be musical. So this wall is an instrument. And I'm not saying make your haunt an instrument, but maybe if you're walking through and you touch this wall or you touch this button, something happens. Like the old phone on the wall, you pick it up and there's a recording on it, something scary. That level of interactivity that we normally tell people don't touch. Yeah, you're in a way for them to touch.
Yeah, it's like when you're in you're in Disney World, especially like the Haunted Mansion. You touch the little saxophone and it goes off. You tap the cat and the cat meows, you know, and that type of stuff.
Exactly. Just adding that interactivity that gives your customer a little something extra just brings them that much more into the show. Which that was really impressive with the way they did that, and we can totally use that to make our shows better.
Right. So that was something you had just gone out and checked out, and the video is coming out shortly? Or maybe
Video went out about a week ago. I was out there.
All right.
And it took off a little bit. Some people were interested in it. But I was out there on a business trip and just snuck off one night and awesome time.
So where can people stalk you on the net?
You go to haunttechtips.com. That's where I post pretty much all the podcast episodes, any major news, the coolest videos, and just like and subscribe on YouTube. There's something new up there. It gets a little dry January, February, but most of the year I'm posting something at least every few weeks, be it behind the scenes of the haunt, teasers for the haunt. I have a video up about the haunt GoPro vlog rig, which might help you out a little bit with yours, showing the lights, the mounts, all that. So YouTube's the place right now. That's where most of my efforts are going.
Well, they could also catch over on Facebook under the same thing. You have a page over there for Haunt Tech Tips. You have Chris Gay on Facebook. And other than that, I thank you for your support for over the years, Chris. You've been a long-term faithful listener. I mean, the fact that I know your name, and I'm like, yeah, I know this guy from like 10 years ago, and he's been consistently, you know, I've always seen you like posting and commenting, and you know, I always appreciate it too. You know, it's awesome. So hey man, it was great catching up with you finally. I mean, it's been a while, so I hope you have I hope you have a rocking season down there.
Oh, I look forward to it. And it goes both ways. I've learned so much from the different guests you've had on the shows over the years, different vendors, different ideas, and of course, Revenant section. But we're in the woods. So his episode about thinking about where you're at and building your haunt accordingly kind of designed most of our haunt. So thank you.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.